Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
He didn't want to be with his dad or didn't want to be in the NBA, but it felt like it just feels like it's too early, and he felt like he had no other choice in a way but to play with his dad and try to have that moment.
I hope he wanted this. Like, I hope he wanted to play with his dad.
I don't think he did, because before, he's on record saying, I don't want anybody to draft me because of my dad. I want to be drafted because I'm wanted. And I can tell you, I don't know if the Lakers want him. That's what makes me feel bad. They want him because they want LeBron. They don't want Bronny. That's my problem.
We're not going to know for a while just what the evaluations were of Bronny's game. That'll probably be something that comes out here over the next few months, maybe early in the season, especially if he doesn't play very much or play very well when he does play. I'll say this. I think that he's getting a bad shake here because yeah. Like, there wouldn't be any fanfare for any other player, any other son of a player, if they had been in this position where you're 50, what is he, was he 55th or 56th that he was picked?
Fifth, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, you're picked almost at the very dead end of the draft. Like, not even anywhere close to being a premium pick. Like, being picked this late in the draft is the equivalent to being like a 7th round pick. Like, there's not a ton of fanfare here normally for a player that is drafted in this position. But because he's LeBron James's son, it creates a lot of undue pressure. And there was nothing that we saw in college that should have made anyone think that he was going to be a great player initially.
Yep.
That's the reason why he fell. And mainly it was about, like, how do we prognosticate his talent in the future? And, you know, I thought there was a good chance that someone was going to take a bet on him just because he's LeBron James's son. But, like,
if you watched him play, to your point, if you watched him play.
Yeah. Just take his name out of the equation. Take who his daddy is out the equation. Just judge his game based on what he showed. He's probably not a guy that gets drafted.
And that's where, somebody texted in from the 913. That's not for us to feel bad about. That's on his dad, because if this isn't something his dad was demanding, it would have never happened. I agree, but I think that's why I feel bad for Bronny.
We can still feel bad for the kid.
That's why I feel bad for Bronny, is because it's a situation where any other player, to your point, if they didn't have the name, he would not be drafted and I don't know if he'd sniff regular time. He would be in the G League, or he would realize, 100%, you know what, it's better to go overseas.
He'd be a two-way player. 100% he'd be a two-way player, for sure.
Yeah, that's why I feel bad, is when if Bronny, what he says is true, and is, I want to be drafted for who likes me, then he should have never come out of the draft, and it could have been one of those moments. I don't know if you've seen Space Jam 2. I watched it with my wife, and I can tell you the MJ one is so much better, but
yeah,
there's a moment where LeBron James' son in the movie is like, look, Dad, I like developing video games. That's my lane. I want to do that. That's the conversation that Bronny should have had with my dad, or with Bron. It's like, look, dude, you're my dad, but I am not in the best situation for myself to succeed long term by coming out in the draft and playing with you. I'm better off staying in college another year. And look, if I play with you, great. If not, we know long term, this is better for myself. I don't know if he had that conversation, and I don't know if that's because he felt some sort of pressure, like, hey, I got to do this. Rich Paul, by the way, had said, look, if you draft him and he's not the Lakers or the Suns, he's going to Australia to play. Honestly, that might not have actually been a bad thing in hindsight for him to just go overseas and just be like, you know what, I'm going over there and I'm playing, because and then figure it out after that, because, or hell, for all we know, he might end up playing there in Australia, for all we know. I don't think it'll get that far because he's LeBron James' son, but there's a way that you can still feel bad for the kid because the situation he's presented, that it doesn't seem like if he wanted what he said he wanted, I don't think he would have come out, or he would have at least found a way to say, hey, Rich, don't tell teams to not draft me unless it's the Lakers. Because again, and this situation is different because the whole nepotism thing came up, and Woj went on a rant where he said, look, it happens all over the NBA. No, it does, but it's different. Because
it doesn't happen with players. It happens with coaches all the time.
It happens, but it's different when it's LeBron James's son. PJ Hull out of Clemson. His agent said, look, don't draft him. Don't draft him. He wants options out. And he signed with the Denver Nuggets afterwards. Bronny would have had options, but look, we knew where he was going the whole time. There were no options for him. It was one place and one place only that he was going, and it was the Los Angeles Lakers.
So I don't want to just assume that he didn't want to be in this position, because we don't know his side, and we might not know his side until his career's over, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff you gotta maneuver through. There's a big dynamic there, especially with his dad. Because, like, look, it's our fault that Bronny has the pressure that he has on him. It's not his fault. It's our fault.
Because we're
the ones that put the pressure on him by saying, that's LeBron James' son. That means if he's not good, like, that's a major disappointment, because look at the kind of genetics he's getting and whatnot. And
to that point, nobody was talking about MJ's kids like that. Marcus.
There was people talking about his kids. They just realized his kids weren't very good. And so the pressure was gone by the time that I think his oldest son played at UCF,
yes,
I believe. And he wasn't that good. So it was like, that's fine. Like, that's okay. We never got to that point. But it's different, though, nowadays, because, like, we've grown up. We've been watching the NBA for a while. If you watch the NBA for a while, you've seen Bronny grow up. You've seen highlights of when he was in high school and he was out here dunking on people and making these highlight plays. And that started building up the hype for him. Plus, you see the fact that, you know, the stuff that came out, what was it, like 2-3 years ago, that LeBron James was interested in playing with his son. And so,
hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That is when the pressure started to happen. And that's not his fault. Bronny, I think, has been trying his best to kind of get out of his dad's shadow. Hence why he goes by Bronny and not LeBron James Jr. And I certainly do think that, you know, that could be a case where it's like he's kind of in a position where he's not getting to do what he wants to do.
That's why I don't think we did it. I think LeBron did it. As soon as he said,
well, LeBron played a part in it, but we were complicit in it as well.
As soon as he said,
because we could have said no.
Yeah, as soon as he said, I want to play with my son, that started everything. It was like, yeah, this guy's pretty good, to all of a sudden, oh, he's that good. Where you and I talked about this off air before the show. Bryce James, his younger son, is going to be better than Bronny is. But that's beside the point. Somebody texted, and I don't feel bad for them at all. I think as a parent, you give your child a leg up or just an additional opportunity. If you can do it, you do it.
I agree with that, but I also think, like, again, the big thing, and I think you agree with this, is like the hope is this is what Bronny wanted. Like, you can try to give your child the best that you possibly can, but they got to want it too. Otherwise, you're just forcing your dreams on your kid, and I don't think that's right.
And,
like, you could disagree with me, but I don't think that's right. And I think most people out there would be like, yeah, I want my kid to enjoy what they do. And if they don't enjoy what they do, then we got to start asking questions about that.
Somebody texted in as well. MJ's kids were not good and didn't get that pressure, but MJ didn't create the pressure or put his kids in that situation.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, like I said, LeBron's complicit in this, but we also are complicit in this as well. Mainly media. I mean, like, I don't think a ton of fans were really on it, because, like, it was more of like a hardcore thing. But I think if you're like a hardcore NBA fan and you've been paying attention to his life outside of basketball, and you were one of those people that was like, oh, Bronny might be really good, you're part of it.
Yeah. And I think along with that, of course, the second round and ESPN and all that other stuff, they highlighted the situation, of course. And it's going to be a main talking point in the summer league, especially if he does well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Summer League's going to – those ratings for those Lakers games in the Summer League are going to be huge.
Yeah.
And they're going to put those Lakers games on in prime time, and they're going to advertise it a lot. There's going to be a lot of marketing materials for it. And if he's not good, then there's going to be not a lot to talk about as far as the Lakers are concerned.
Well, I'm going to counter that briefly, real quick before we go to break, because I'm trying to get to this Missouri situation and Florida situation with you to wrap things up. The Lakers are going to be really good this year, and it's because of one dude that slipped. I don't know how. Dalton Connect, I've seen him play in person one time, and that dude is a bucket getter. And I think that the Lakers are going to be good, and it's not because of Bronny. It's because of Dalton Connect out of Tennessee. I don't know how he slipped that far, but he did.
I think he's going to be a role player. I don't think he's a bucket getter at this level. Well, you see a kid 23 years old get drafted out of college, like, there's a limit to how much you're going to do in today's game The guys who are the elite athletes get drafted way younger.
Would you consider Austin Reeves a bucket getter?
I think he's a good role player, yeah. I think he's a good role player. If that's what you're referring to as, sure. I just hope you don't think he's going to be playing like an all-star game
No.
If you think he's going to be like a 12-point-per-game guy, shoot, 38% from three, sure, I'll take that. Like, I would agree with you on that.
I think he's getting – I don't know. His rookie,
He's not going to be J.J. Redick at the height of his game. That's not going to happen.
He's going to be better than J.J. Redick at the height.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Don't connect. No, he's not. Can be. No, he's not. Hold on. Dalton Connect's ceiling is Gordon Hayward. His ceiling.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Come on, Chris.
No, it's not. It's probably what was that dude's name that played at Florida and then went to
Chandler Parsons.
Maybe his ceiling. Maybe, even though Chandler Parsons did have some years where he was like, I think 19.
If I was Dalton Connect and I knew I was getting Chandler Parsons money, like, sign me up.
Towards the bottom, Chandler Parsons 15 a game, I think, is the top end of what he does.
He cannot stay healthy to save his life. Chandler Parsons could not. After the Grizzlies signed him to a 90 whatever million dollar contract, all the way.
Yeah, I think Austin Reeves has people a little bit too ambitious on Dalton Connect. I think Dalton will be a good role player, but there's a reason why he fell. It wasn't an accident that he fell from a potential top 10 to 17. Yes, because you don't have very many years to get in before you get into your prime when you get drafted at 23.
If I'm the Lakers, I'm saying come and get these buckets.
And he's been playing a lot of college ball. And now you got to go play pro.
His story is pretty dope, actually, going from D2 to Northern Colorado to going to the NBA.
His way up. But, there's a reason why it took him a long time to get to the NBA.
All right, coming up next, college football video game, the screenshot stuff. I am ready for this Dynasty Mode video tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little bit, who Chris is looking forward to play as. And, yes, we will get to the Florida conversation, his Gators. If they win 10 games, it's not going to happen. I can guarantee you
probably
that.
Probably not, but
I can guarantee you that.
A man can dream.
They're in the playoff if they go 10-2. It's After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
After Hours, we're wrapping things up here on 610 Sports Radio. Drew Nixon sitting in for Dusty Likens. Chris Unocero on the other side of the glass. All right, we're going to talk about the video game, but I want to get to this real quick. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Missouri and KU and K-State. What are the chances to make the playoff? All this realignment stuff, the end of college football, kind of as we know it with the Power 5 era, the expansion of the playoff, all that good stuff. And Chris is convinced, the Mizzou alum that he is, that Missouri is not going to, if they go 10-2, they're not making the playoff.
There's not a guarantee.
You bring up, I think that is actually a fair point, because with how light the schedule is, there is a potential that if they do lose two games, depending on who it is to, the committee is like, I don't know, there might be a better team in the country, but I think that the SEC nod is going to go their way. Now, that sparked the Florida Gator fan in you. Their schedule.
Tough. It is tough. I looked at it and I was like, "Ooh!"
In no particular order.
It's tough every year, but man.
As a matter of fact, hang on. This is the thing. With the new SEC, there's no divisions. Florida got screwed. They got hosed. People think Missouri's schedule is easy. You flip that to the complete opposite, that's what the Florida Gators got. I'm not even going to give you anything in the first 6 weeks of the season. I'm going to give you the last five. They have Georgia, November 2nd.
They play every year.
Correct. At Texas. Home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, and at Florida State. If that's not a gauntlet.
It's tough, man.
I don't know what
it's tough. I mean, the new addition to it is the Texas game, but
mind you, they also play Tennessee on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you got
A&M at home.
You got
Miami at home.
Yeah, Mississippi State on the road. You got Tennessee UCF on the road. I mean, yeah, they do got UCF.
That's a nasty. That is a nasty schedule.
Yeah, I mean, first off, if you're in the SEC, you play a tough schedule every year. So, I mean, this
if
is
you're Missouri though. I let me Missouri plays.
Missouri
three,
has an easier schedule.
They have three tough games, and that's on the face of it because we know how good they are.
Yeah,
but A&M, Alabama, and Oklahoma. Okay, but you're saying it's probably not likely. Or it's likely. I think they get in no matter what. If they go if the Florida Gators go 10-2, that means they beat three of the following: Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, or in Florida State and Tennessee. They win at least four of those games. If they do that and they go 10-2, they are in the playoff.
We also have to take into account like other teams regressing or not living up to what we think they are preseason.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very possible. I mean, there's been times, like, when Mizzou came in and won the SEC East the 2 years that they did, all the other teams were not good. They had fallen off. Florida fell off. Georgia fell off.
Good.
Yep. Like, South Carolina wasn't that good. Tennessee was awful. Like, I mean, look, there's been some up and downs in that conference. But, like, you got to think about this way. There's probably going to be a lot more two-loss teams sitting in there because so much conference movement.
Let's not forget all
those teams from the Pac-12, they dipped over and they moved to other conferences. So, you know, now
the
you're
Big
looking
Ten's going to be competitive
too.
Yeah,
like
yes,
think about
very.
It. Oregon could be a two-loss team that gets in. Same thing with Washington. Same thing goes for
Michigan, Ohio State, maybe.
Utah could be in the same situation. There's going to be, I think, some attrition that happens in these leagues. Certainly going to be some attrition in the Big 12. Definitely going to be some in the SEC. Like there could be some shifting of powers there. And so I don't think we can take for granted the SEC bias that has existed with the college football playoff in basically since its inception. So I can't care.
Forever.
I mean, you think if we're going right now based off the schedule, Florida would get in, but that could change as we go through the season. And we could see a lot more two-loss teams be in the running than we've seen before because generally teams like Oregon, teams like Ohio State and Michigan don't play enough good teams to where they would lose more than a game or two. And if they do, it's clearly because they're just not good enough to make it in. But this might be a situation where you see a little bit more attrition a la the NFL.
It's a good point. We're going to wrap things up here on After Hours by talking about the college football game. So the Dynasty stuff came out. You're able to DM a player. You can go so deep, it seems like, with this game in regards to the details and all that stuff. We're going to get all more.
Only thing would be cool is if they let us break recruiting rules, and then if we get busted, we get in trouble or whatever. But if we don't, we can just keep doing
it. I'll be honest, too. It says verbally commit, and one of the screenshots says verbally committed. So you can verbally commit and then flip a recruit if you want to.
Which is good, because you couldn't do that in the other games.
No, you cannot. No. They got all the details.
Once they committed, they committed, and it was solid.
All right, you get the game, Chris. What's the first team you're playing as?
Florida.
Is it Florida?
Florida. Yeah, that's my team.
Dynasty team. Is it Florida?
Florida. I will.
I don't think you can do Dynasty with a top to your team.
Now they let you, like, they'll let you create teams.
So I'm going to do a team builder.
Yeah, I'm going to create Ruskin High School. Well, in this place will be Ruskin University. Mm. And we're about to dominate D1. I did that. Did that in the old college games there.
So I'm a Wisconsin guy. I'm not going to play as the Badgers, though. I can't stand that they got Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. I think he's not good. Dynasty mode.
Oh, man, that loss that they had last year at the end of that game.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
The worst coach in terms of time management situations. There's a lot of that in college football in general. But thank goodness that Leipold, Kleiman, and Drinkwitz don't seem to be that way for the local schools. But I'm going to go. Dynasty mode is going to be Coastal Carolina. My brother and sister went there. I want to start with the smaller school. They got the Teal Field in Myrtle Beach. Go up from there. First team I'm going to play as in the tournament, I still don't know yet. Again, July 8th through the 12th, you're going to have a chance to enter and be selected for the tournament. 24 of the listeners against 8 of us here at 610 Sports Radio for a chance to win a console of your choice, tickets to the Mizzou K-State game, and maybe more as well. I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I cannot wait for the news tomorrow to come out.
I'll say this. Mizzou might be a solid choice early on. We don't know how good they're going to be.
Carrington's taking
anything.
Missouri, and he's talking all kinds of smack.
It's a good. You got maybe the best receiver in the nation. Yeah, I think you definitely. That's one of the teams that'll get used a lot. I mean, I might
have to lace them up with Memphis and drop 50 on
a
Missouri.
A lot of people are
going to
play with Texas because Quinn Ewers / Archie Manning, and they got some weapons there. Yeah, I mean,
Cody from Cody and Gold has said that he's taking Georgia, the best team in the game.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, they recruit incredibly well. I get that.
I think I'm debating Ole Miss, LSU, Wisconsin, and I might throw in like a Memphis in there as well.
Florida, if you want to use them, use Graham Mertz, DJ Lagway. You got a little talent Mertz. There.
Shout out to you need to give a shout out to Wisconsin. We warmed them up a little bit for you guys. That is it for After Hours. For Chris, I'm Drew Nixon. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll catch you next time. Till then, peace.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I don't know. There might be a better team in the country, but I think that the SEC nod is going to go their way. Now, that sparked the Florida Gator fan in you. Their schedule.
Tough. It is tough. I looked at it and I was like, "Ooh!"
In no particular order.
It's tough every year, but man.
As a matter of fact, hang on. This is the thing. With the new SEC, there's no divisions. Florida got screwed. They got hosed. People think Missouri's schedule is easy. You flip that to the complete opposite, that's what the Florida Gators got. I'm not even going to give you anything in the first 6 weeks of the season. I'm going to give you the last five. They have Georgia, November 2nd.
They play every year.
Correct. At Texas. Home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, and at Florida State. If that's not a gauntlet.
It's tough, man.
I don't know what
it's tough. I mean, the new addition to it is the Texas game, but like.
Mind you, they also play Tennessee on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you got.
A&M at home. You got Miami at home.
Yeah, Mississippi State on the road. You got Tennessee UCF? On the road. I mean, yeah, they do got UCF.
That is a nasty schedule.
Yeah, I mean, first off, if you're in the SEC, you play a tough schedule every year. So, I mean, this
if
is
you're Missouri, though, I let me, Missouri plays
Missouri
three,
has an easier they, schedule.
They
yes,
have three, they three, three tough games, and that's on the face of it because we know how good they are.
Yeah.
But A&M, Alabama, and Oklahoma. Okay, but you're saying it's probably not likely. Or it's likely. I think they get in no matter what. If they go if the Florida Gators go 10-2, that means they beat three of the following: Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, or in Florida State and Tennessee. They win at least four of those games. If they do that and they go 10-2, they are in the playoff.
We also have to take into account like other teams regressing or not living up to what we think they are preseason.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very possible. I mean, there's been times, like, when Mizzou came in and won the SEC East the 2 years that they did, all the other teams were not good. They had fallen off. Florida fell off. Georgia fell off. Good. Yep. Like, South Carolina wasn't that good. Tennessee was awful. Like, I mean, look, there's been some up and downs in that conference. But, like, you got to think about this way. There's probably going to be a lot more two-loss teams sitting in there because so much conference movement.
Let's not forget all
those teams from the Pac-12, they dipped over and they moved to other conferences. So, you know, now
the
you're
Big
looking
Ten's going to be competitive
too.
Yeah,
like
yes,
think about
very.
It. Oregon could be a two-loss team that gets in. Same thing with Washington. Same thing goes for
Michigan, Ohio State, maybe.
Utah could be in the same situation. There's going to be, I think, some attrition that happens in these leagues. Certainly going to be some attrition in the Big 12, definitely going to be some in the SEC. Like there could be some shifting of powers there. And so I don't think we can take for granted the SEC bias that has existed with the college football playoff in basically since its inception. So I mean, you think if we're going right now based off the schedule, Florida would get in, but that could change as we go through the season. And we could see a lot more two-loss teams be in the running than we've seen before because generally teams like Oregon, teams like Ohio State and Michigan don't play enough good teams to where they would lose more than a game or two. And if they do, it's clearly because they're just not good enough to make it in. But this might be a situation where you see a little bit more attrition a la the NFL.
It's a good point. We're going to wrap things up here on After Hours by talking about the college football game. So the Dynasty stuff came out. You're able to DM a player. You can go so deep, it seems like, with this game in regards to the details and all that stuff. We're going to get all more.
Only thing would be cool is if they let us break recruiting rules. And then if we get busted, you know, we get in trouble or whatever. But if we don't, we can just keep doing it.
I'm going to be honest, too. It says verbally commit. And one of the screenshots says verbally committed. So you can verbally commit and then flip a recruit if you want to.
Which is good. Because you couldn't do that in the other
games. No, you cannot. They got all the details.
Once they committed, they committed. And it was solid.
All right. You get the game, Chris. What's the first team you're playing as? Is it Florida?
Florida. Yeah, that's my team.
Dynasty team. Is it Florida?
Florida. I will.
I don't think you can do Dynasty with a top tier team.
Now they'll let you create teams.
So I'm going to do a team builder.
Yeah, I'm going to create Ruskin High School. Well, in this place, it would be Ruskin University. Mm. And we're about to dominate D1. I did that. Right. I did that in the old college games there.
So I'm a Wisconsin guy. I'm not going to play as the Badgers, though. I can't stand that they got Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. I think he's not good. Dynasty mode.
Oh, man, that loss that they had last year at the end of that game.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
The worst coach in terms of time management situations. There's a lot of that in college football in general. But thank goodness that Leipold, Kleiman, and Drinkwitz don't seem to be that way for the local schools. But I'm going to go. Dynasty mode is going to be Coastal Carolina. My brother and sister went there. I want to start with the smaller school. They got the Teal Field in Myrtle Beach. Go up from there. First team I'm going to play as in the tournament. I still don't know yet. Again, July 8th through the 12th, you're going to have a chance to enter and be selected for the tournament. 24 of the listeners against 8 of us. Here at 610 Sports Radio for a chance to win a console of your choice, tickets to the Mizzou K-State game, and maybe more as well. I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I cannot wait for the news tomorrow to come out.
I'll say this. Mizzou might be a solid choice early on. We don't know how good they're going to be.
Carrington's taking
anything.
Missouri, and he's talking all kinds of smack.
It's a good. You got maybe the best receiver in the nation. Yeah, I think you definitely. That's one of the teams that'll get used a lot. I mean, I might have
to lace them up with Memphis and drop 50 on Missouri's defense.
A lot of people are going to play with Texas because Quinn Ewers / Archie Manning, and they got some weapons there. Yeah, I mean,
Cody and Gold has said that he's taking Georgia, the best team in the game.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, they recruit incredibly well. I get that.
I think I'm debating Ole Miss, LSU, Wisconsin, and I might throw in like a Memphis in there as well.
Florida, if you want to use them, use Graham Mertz, DJ Lagway. You got a little talent
Mertz,
there.
Shout out to you need to give a shout out to Wisconsin. We warm them up a little bit for you guys. That is it for After Hours. For Chris, I'm Drew Nixon. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll catch you next time. Till then, peace.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.